So this week or this month, we have a new theme, and that is Let's Be Encouraged. And I thought, you know, it's middle of the year. It's, you know, everyone's working hard. It's for those at uni, at school, it's assignment time, it's crunch time. Tax time is drawing near, so the budgets are getting done. Lots of things are going on, and just life happens, and we can get a bit weary. So let's get into encouragement for the month of June. And so as we think about encouragement, it's good to think, well, what is encouragement actually mean? It means to give support, to cheer people on, to give confidence to someone, to give hope, to lift up people's spirits, to bring comfort. Encouragement motivates us to do things, to believe maybe in things or have a certain attitude. So encouragement is really powerful to give and to receive. It helps us to keep going. It helps us to try new things. So encouragement's really great. And I guess the question would be, how do you feel when you receive some encouragement? Got some smiles there. I mean, I love it. I think we all love it. Yes, we do. I mean, you know, if I spent time, I don't know if you're creative, if you, you know, create or paint a picture or maybe bake a cake, isn't it great when someone says, wow, that is so good? Doesn't it make you feel wonderful? If you put anything on Facebook, you know, you spend time putting a post together, you put it up on Facebook, do you go back to see how many people have liked it? No, you don't, do you? Of course you do. Because we want to see, you know, have we connected? And it's encouraging. Wow, I've got this many likes. An hour later, you've got some more. We're all looking for and needing encouragement. God knows it because that's the way he's designed us and made us. And interestingly, scientists have actually discovered that when we receive encouragement, it actually sets off the good chemicals in our brains, dopamine, and actually makes us feel good. So encouragement is a good thing. And it's not surprising to discover that God is our greatest encourager. And God's heart is for us to flourish, to experience fullness of life, and to be encouraged by him. So this week we're going to look at the topic of God is here to encourage us. God's our source of encouragement. And when we look at Romans, Paul wrote to them, and he wrote this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance," so that's our part, you know, persevering, hanging in there, sticking with it, "and the encouragement of the scriptures," what God has given to us, "we might have hope." They're working together. And so God has asked us to hang in there. He's bringing us encouragement. But it's interesting, there's even more to it, because even when we feel we can't hang in there any longer, Paul tells us that it's God that actually gives us the endurance and the encouragement we need, because it goes on to say, "May the God who gives us endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's all from God, and it's all for God. In the last, actually ended up being 2 months, we really focus on talking about the Holy Spirit, finding out, discovering about the Holy Spirit. And as I was looking at this word encourage and encouragement in the New Testament, the word for encouragement is paraklesis. And we might remember that one of the words for Holy Spirit was paraklete or parakletos, meaning supporter, helper, encourager. So it's by God's Spirit that we are encouraged. Holy Spirit gives us encouragement. And as we know, Holy Spirit is equally God. So God is an encourager. It's part of God's nature, and God is always true to his own nature. God can't be anything else but encouraging to us. God is our greatest encourager. We can get encouragement from all sources, all types of places and people. But encouragement from God is the type of encouragement that would really, truly satisfy our need for support and our need for affirmation. As I've been looking at this whole idea of encouragement, I came up with this idea, and you might not agree with it, but just go with me if you can. Two types of encouragement. So one is, I'm calling shallow encouragement. Now, shallow encouragement is that sort of scenario when you do something like paint a great picture or cook a great cake and someone says, great, and you go, wow, that's fantastic. Now, the only issue with that is that as we get encouragement for the things we do, sometimes that might set us up for an unhealthy need for approval. Oh, you know, you keep trying to do things just so you can get encouragement. And if our confidence is based only on what we can do and our abilities, the time when we don't get any approval can really hit our sense of self-worth with awful, like, brutality, really. It just will crush us. And we might conclude that we're only accepted only when we can perform to a certain standard. And we feel rejected when we fall short. So if we get stuck in that place, in this area of receiving encouragement from this source, our life becomes all about working hard to get others to like us. We're left trying to achieve and do better, but when we fall short, we feel a failure and we feel rejected. We keep trying to fill our own cup. We're trying harder to get approval, but because we can't always meet the standards or expectations of others, you never can, you know, our life, our cup just seems half full. We seem less in our own eyes. We just can't quite get there. But thankfully, so it has a wrong focus, just looking on at the outcomes, the results of what we do, our own abilities. But with God's encouragement, I'd like to say that that is a different sort of encouragement, and that's a deep encouragement which prioritises the inner life, our heart, our motivations over the outcome. So God is not looking at what we can do or the outcome, but who we are becoming on the inside as we attempt to do good things for Him. We're still doing stuff, but the thing isn't what we so much do, but who we're becoming on the inside. God already loves you. He loves us so wonderfully. God speaks to the fullness that God has already given you and I, our God-given potential, who we really are as God intends for you to be. That's who he's speaking to when he speaks to us. God encourages us to be our God-designed self. So in terms of God's perspective, you and I are already full, and God encourages us to live and grow into that fullness. God's encouragement speaks to our core, our identity, and our God-given destiny. He's always trying to call us into who he sees us to be. Now, God chose to reveal his fullness to us in the life of Jesus. And as we read the Gospels, we see Jesus is an awesome encourager. And he speaks, he sees people's hearts, and he speaks to the core of people. He would see who people really are, and would speak to who they are in ways to uncover what they can't see and what others couldn't see either. So an example today of what Jesus was like and who and how he spoke, we're going to talk about Simon. Now, it's not the Simon we know who's sitting down here, awesome Simon, but it's about the Simon who's in the Gospels, written about in the Gospels. Now, Simon in the Gospels, he was pretty poor. He was a fisherman. Didn't always do that great. He would be out all night not catching anything. You know, he wouldn't have had much money. People looking at him might have thought he's pretty low on the status of things, not like our Simon, of course, pretty low. And, you know, people might think, well, why spend time with Simon? I mean, you know, he's a bit of a smelly old fisherman. So, I know, poor Simon. And look, like Simon didn't even think that he amounted to much either, because when he came face to face with Jesus and saw, wow, how awesome is Jesus, he said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. So he saw lots of faults in himself and he didn't think he was that great either. But, you know, along did come Jesus and he was doing amazing things and the surrounding province knew it. He was preaching with great authority. People were amazed. He was healing people, casting out demons. A word spread around really quickly in the neighbourhood. And even Simon got him over to heal his mother-in-law, who was not feeling great. And then he gets to meet Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, you are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. So Simon becomes Peter. And so what is Jesus saying? Why is Jesus changing Simon's name to Peter? You know, I think when Jesus was looking at Simon, he was saying, you know how you think you see yourself and how maybe others see yourself as Simon. And Simon was connected to a name from generations past, which meant rash, to be rash and impulsive. And we kind of see that Peter kind of lived like that, you know, in the stories. But Jesus says, yeah, look, I acknowledge this is where you're at right now, but I see that you're Peter because you're going to be like a rock. That's what Peter translates to, trustworthy, reliable and solid. You know, Jesus was speaking encouragement and hope into the inner being of Simon, who is now called Peter. Wow. You know, for us, we can take great encouragement from that. God speaks encouragement to our core potential and identity because he is looking at you right now and he's saying, yes, I made you just the way that I have intended and always wanted you to be. And I want you to see it too, that you would live into who I've called you to be. God knows our potential because he created it in you. You have awesome potential and God keeps wanting to speak into that. And in Ephesians 2:10, we see, for we are God's workmanship, which means his masterpiece, his great work of art. You are awesome to God and you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. You know, we belong to God and he loves us beyond our understanding and God has given us things to do. And we will do these things according to how he's made us. What I do and how I do it will be completely different to what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. So we don't need to compare and compete with one another, not at all. But just we need to look to God for his guidance as we walk our walk with him and we all walk together. God knows how we're made and he made us for faith and for faith and trust in him. So God encourages us to step out and grow in our faith so that we become more of how each of us are made. And the more that we do step out in our faith, trust him, you know, trust him when times are tough. You know, maybe you're trusting God right now for finances or for a relationship, or there's a real difficulty that's sprung up in the family that you're really leaning into God for. We all have needs of various kinds. And it's as we trust God in these times, really trust him, that God's going to come through somehow, that our faith grows and we become more spiritually mature. It's opportunities for us to grow up in the Lord. So we see Jesus encouraging Peter too to step out in faith and out of his comfort zone. So often God is asking us to do that, stretch that faith just that little bit more. But he does that so we can experience the greatness and goodness of God in ways we haven't experienced before. And Jesus was wanting that for Peter. And so one night when Jesus had sent the disciples ahead in the boat and Jesus stayed back, he came in the middle of the night, the fourth watch of the night, and walks on the water, defies the natural laws and is walking on the water towards his disciples, who of course are freaking out. But once they realise it's Jesus, Jesus gets a word in and says, "It's me, don't be afraid." And Peter says, "If it's really you, Lord, ask me to come." And Jesus says, "Come. Come, Peter. You're going to have the time of your life." Peter steps out of the boat. He has the time of his life. He walks on water. We don't know how long for, because Peter gets distracted, looks at the wind and the waves and starts to sink and go, help. And Jesus says at that point, he says, why? You have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, why didn't you take my courage, my encouragement? God is speaking encouragement into our hearts, but we need to want to take and receive the encouragement he's speaking to our hearts. Are we open for that? Because God's going to use our situations, wherever we're in, to grow us in our faith and grow into the God-given potential he's already placed in us. So what's happening with you right now? What situations are you in dealing with, circumstances that God might want to use to grow you in your faith? For you to say, "God, I can't see what's ahead. I can't see how this is actually going to work out, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you and not be anxious, but let myself be at peace in you." You know, maybe he's asking you to step into a situation that's really uncomfortable. And the only way you're going to get through it is by trusting God. But whatever it might be, let's make the most of our circumstance, whatever it might be right now, so that we can actually grow in what God considers to be so precious, which is our faith. And also to grow into more of who God has created you to be. Rock solid in him, exploding with his goodness and joy and his peace. He's got so much for you. You know, and as we do step out in faith, you know, he's encouraging you and I to be the person and the people he created us to be. And so it's good to think about, what is the God-given dream and desire that he's given you to partner with him, to extend his love in this world and to impact the world? How do you think God is going to use you? Has he given you an inkling about that? Does it even seem possible? Well, it's faith that's going to get you there. And so for some that are here, you might be new to this word of faith, or, you know, what is faith? So in Hebrews, on the slide, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists." Next slide, that's the one. "He exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So it's saying, to have faith, we need to believe that God is real, he exists, and that he's good. That as we really want to know who God is, that he rewards us. He's a good God. He's always good, always good. And in terms of our faith, we might be thinking, I don't feel like I've got much faith at all. I feel like I'm really floundering in my faith. Well, Jesus says, just start where you are. Even if your faith is small, that's okay. Because in Matthew 17, 20, he says, even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know, Peter floundered, but he kept trusting in Jesus, and he ended up being a mighty man of God, whom we read about now, who encouraged others by writing letters which are now in our scriptures. And he became a pillar, a foundational person in the early church that the Lord used to grow the church that we now have today. How amazing is that? As he put his trust in God, as he put his trust in Jesus, look what God can do. Look what God can do. And I know in my own life, sometimes people look at me, oh, Marie, you always look so happy and joyful. Yeah, I am. I choose to be. You know, I've gone through times in life where I've been so devastated, I haven't known how to keep moving forward. And in that moment, all I can do is put my faith in God and know that God is good. I'm confused about everything else, have no answers for anything else, can't see a way forward, but all I can do is hang on to that small little bit of knowledge that I choose to believe that God, you are good, and I'm just going to hold on to that and trust. Even if I can't see anything change, I'm just going to keep trusting in you. And that's the type of faith that God keeps calling us into. It's a daily decision that no matter what life looks like, that you're going to trust him. And, you know, God is so good and merciful. He knows how we're made. We're weak, you know. We don't get it right. And so God encourages us even when we fail. He encourages in our failures. Now, if you feel like you've done something terrible and you've done something that's terrible, look, Peter did something that was just outlandishly bad. You could never top Peter. You know, we're focusing on him today. Dear Peter, you know, he walks with Jesus, see Jesus do these amazing miracles. He knows there's something more to this guy. He says, you know, you're the Son of God. But when push comes to shove, when Jesus needs him most, when Jesus is being tortured, being led off to die, Peter denies he even knows who Jesus is. He denies this amazing God-man, Jesus Christ. He denies that he even knows him. And Peter is under the weight of shame and guilt because of that. And yet, when Jesus rises from the dead, he restores Peter back into relationship, gives him back his, restores his identity. If you love me, go feed my sheep. Peter, I've got things for you still. I still see that potential that's in you. That hasn't changed. It's okay. I love you. I forgive you. All is well. All is well as you look to me. So even when we fail, God never fails us. He keeps encouraging us. So my prayer is today, let's remember today as we focus on this theme of encouragement, as we look at our last thank you slide, that God is here to encourage us, to encourage you and me. He's speaking encouragement to the core of who you are. He loves you. He sees you. He's saying, I made you and I think you're awesome. So you better not think anything different. Don't disagree with God. It's always not a good idea to do that. Agree with him, okay? You're awesome. Receive that. God is encouraging us to step out and grow in our faith, to step out of our comfort zones, where we're stretched. But that's where we're going to experience the greatest joy, because God's there and he's wanting to show more of who he is to us, more of how great and good. And he wants to blow your mind. I mean, how marvellous must it have been for Peter to walk on the water. I mean, I want to do that. I mean, how amazing is that? Well, God's got great things for us as we trust in him and allow ourselves to be stretched. And God encourages us when we get it all wrong. I've got it all wrong, and I have been devastated that I would not trust, that I didn't trust God at certain times. I thought, how could I not have done that? And racked with guilt and shame over it, because I can't believe, I know how great you are, and yet I, you know, didn't trust you at certain points. That's terrible. But, you know, there's nothing too great or awful that God won't forgive. As we come to him with sincere and repentant, which means sincerely sorry hearts, and God just will come alongside again to restore us back into relationship with him, with forgiveness and love. How good is God? So I can also ask the worship team to come back, and I just encourage us all to stand, and I just want to pray. As we come to another time of worship, let's just stand and pray together. So thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your amazing goodness. Lord, I know that you're with us this afternoon. You're speaking to our hearts. And Lord, you look into our hearts and you see what even we don't see. You see the whole story. You see all of who we are, all we're going to become. We can only see our past and we can only see right now. But Lord, we choose this afternoon to trust you with all of our life that's to come. Even what has been, Lord, we thank you that our past doesn't dictate who we are today or tomorrow. But Lord, we give all of that to you. And Lord, how we entrust ourselves into your hands, our loving Father who loves us perfectly, who knows who we are, and is cheering us on to be all that you've intended each of us to be. That we would be a mighty people for you to extend your love. That we may tell others what type of God you are. Awesomely good all the time. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I wouldn't usually want to spend a worship time